Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 19th day of April 2022. I'm delighted to have a first-time guest today. His name is David Swartz, and he is an elder and chairman of the Leadership Council at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which was the host church for my recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Spring Pastors Luncheon. Church of the Living Christ in Loysville is also where David develops and teaches courses as part of the adult education ministry. He recently completed a career in agricultural business management and global food production and economics. Today he will address a biblical response to critical race theory, which is also the theme of the 2022 Reasons for Belief Apologetics Conference being conducted by Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, David Swartz.
Hi, Chris. It's a pleasure to be with you today. Thank you for the invitation to have this conversation.
Well, why don't you let our listeners know something about Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania? And I can tell you right now, I'm very confident if I lived closer to Loysville, I would seriously consider joining that wonderful church. Tell our listeners about it.
Yeah, we are very fortunate to have this church in Western Perry County. It's a church of about 400 people, started about 40 years ago by a small group of people who the Lord saved, and they became very serious about having a church and a worship experience that really glorified the Lord. As is typical of our rural area, the first church service that was ever held 40 years ago was held on a bank barn floor. With people sitting in lawn chairs. And so from that very humble beginning, the Lord has blessed us with tremendous saints of the Lord, tremendous pastors he has provided for the ministry, and we just give the glory to him for all that happens there, and we're grateful for each person and the facility we have and the blessings of the Lord to this day.
Yeah, the facilities there are breathtaking and a perfect venue for an event like I had, the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon. And I look forward to working with you and the folks there for future events, and I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, we were glad to host your event. It was a great time.
Yeah, a lot of people complimenting very highly, not only about the event itself, but your facilities, your volunteers, and everybody that I have spoken to was just blown out of their socks, as they say, by the event, and I'm looking for the next one. By the way, if anybody lives near Loysville, which is in Perry County, Pennsylvania, or you're visiting there, or you have friends, family, and loved ones in or near Loysville, look up churchoftheliving.cc, churchoftheliving.cc, and God willing, I will repeat that information a little while throughout the broadcast. Also, as I mentioned during the initial announcements, you folks are having your annual Reasons for Belief Apologetics Conference. The next one will be held in May of 2022. Tell us about the origins of this conference. You're the only church that I'm aware of, at least locally, that has an annual apologetics conference, specifically on the theme of apologetics. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, we started this conference in the spring of the year a number of years ago. We have addressed a variety of topics, including last year archaeology, in years past, evolution and creation, and we really believe that in the post-Christian culture in which we live, the way in which we need to bring the truth of Scripture to the world and to our neighbors, we have to train folks and really help them understand a biblical response to much of the current messaging that is out there. That the way in which we do evangelism has changed dramatically in the last 20 years. And really, as the leadership of the church, we look at these efforts in apologetics as really how, in our particular community, we do evangelism as we talk to people about these issues.
Now, would you say that apologetics could be defined biblically as being ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us?
Absolutely. That is exactly where we are at with it. We know that all truth eventually comes from the Word of God. That while the concept of absolute truth is a non-starter with many people today, we also see the chaos that results in every arena of our culture, from the unwillingness to accept absolute truth. And so our folks, we have this conference, so our folks have the opportunity to hear from speakers who are able to put together a biblical response to some of the messaging we hear from the world today about relevant topics for family, for culture, for life.
Well, mark your calendars now for May 20th, 21st, and 22nd of this year. That's next month. May 20th, 21st, and 22nd for the Reason for Belief Apologetics Conference at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. And once again, their website is churchoftheliving.cc, churchoftheliving.cc. Well, we have a tradition here, as I mentioned to you before we went on the air. We have a tradition every time we interview a first-time guest. We have that guest give a summary of their salvation testimony, which would include the kind of religious atmosphere they were raised in, if any, and the kind of providential circumstances that our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. And I'd love to hear your story now.
Thanks, Chris. I grew up in a family that went to church every Sunday. My particular heritage or tradition was in the United Methodist Church. But even in the time that I grew up, the salvation message was not really delivered in the church I went to. And so it was not until I went to college and got involved in a campus ministry that I was really confronted with the claims of Christ and the need for personal salvation. And it was there that, as a 20-year-old, I placed my trust in Christ as Savior and was really assured of my salvation. I met my wife there also. She attended that Christian fellowship. We were married. The Lord blessed our family with four children who are now married, and we have grandchildren. We homeschooled our children. We were very interested in making sure that they understood the world from a biblical worldview, and that all aspects of math and science and the humanities were taught through that biblical worldview. It was a tremendous sacrifice, especially on my wife's part, to do that for our four children. But our children, the Lord has been so gracious to save our children and provided godly spouses for them, and we are just thankful to the Lord for all that. One of the formative events after I was saved, a year or two, the Lord took my mother home from cancer, and the pain of that really made me, walking through that dark time really made me evaluate what my priorities were in life. And I understood the need that I was such a novice in the Bible, and that I really needed to dedicate my life to the Lord. As I was willing to do that, I looked back over these past decades, and the Lord provided men who helped to school and shepherd me. I've had no formal theological training in seminary. A lot of godly examples, mentors, and shepherds who the Lord has provided. And you know, Chris, when you look back over your life and you count all of those blessings, they are without price that the Lord gives you.
Amen. Without a doubt. Well, let's get into the theme of the day, which is the theme of your 2022 Reason for Belief Apologetics Conference. Why did you select the theme of critical race theory, or a biblical response to critical race theory? I know that a no-brainer reason would be that it's constantly in the media. Every single day there is some kind of reference to it, either pro or con, depending upon what media you are involved in. But tell us, what was the compelling reason where you said to yourself, I've got to address this in the next Reason for Belief Apologetics Conference, and I've got to get Joe Green to speak with me on this?
Well, there was, we have a committee of folks in the church, some elders and others who plan and work on this conference, and they are always looking for topics that would be of benefit to our folks. And, you know, this issue, this critical race issue, all of these issues around race have been so politicized and so highly charged that in one sense, you want to not even address it, because you just sense the heaviness of it all. On the other hand, the reason we did decide to address it is because it has been an issue that is actually dividing churches. And we actually evangelical thought leaders who are responding to the concerns raised by this critical race theory in ways that we do not think are biblical. And we think it's a tool in which the church is being divided, and so we want to address it. And that's really why this topic came to the forefront.
Amen. I think that it is an extremely important issue. I have heard some people say, when I've had many programs and interviews on this subject, people have said to me, why are you introducing politics so often onto your show? And my response is, this is far beyond any political issue. This is threatening the very gospel itself. There are issues involved in this that are actually salvific, and which involve the nature of man, that all men are conceived in the womb totally depraved, and there is not one race, the white race or any other race, that corners the market or is the exclusive party guilty of the sin of bigotry and hatred, no matter what color skin you are, no matter what ethnicity you come from or nationality. The human race, and that is the only race that exists, the human race is plagued with racism globally, and it seems that the only race that the leftist realm wants to point to is those with less melanin content in their skin. So I think this is a very important subject, far beyond any political discussion. We have addressed this many times, but why don't you start with a definition, as others have, because I don't think that we could bring this up too often, especially in the current climate of the church and the world in regard to this. Why don't you define critical race theory for us?
Well, as probably many of your other speakers have talked about, critical race theory is actually part of that critical theory, which views the world as a perpetual conflict between those who oppress the world through various means and those who are oppressed by it. And this is worked out through critical race theory in those who feel oppressed, being legitimized to throw off that oppression that they see, and those who are oppressors who are supposed to, as a way of atonement, give up their positions of power or authority or prestige or whatever is viewed as causing oppression. And, there are legitimate concerns among poor communities and disadvantaged that need to be addressed in our country. But from a biblical point of view, we do not believe that critical race theory is the way to address those concerns. First of all, because we believe it is actually a heresy, because it is so opposes what we see as a biblical worldview, and it's so, as it's adopted by churches and especially the evangelical church, there is this disillusion of the concept of individual sin and that the response to people who are the oppressed through critical race theory ends up being, well, actually it ends up being more of a works salvation. And so we just see this as a heresy. And in the end, that spiritual fact is of much greater concern than any physical consideration, because it's eternal destiny that's in play.
Yeah, and it is claimed by those who are advocates and proponents of critical race theory and all things under the umbrella of the social justice warrior movement that racism is a sin that white people can never fully repent from. We, by nature of being white, by nature of having a low melanin content in our skin, we are guilty no matter what we say or do, according to them. And even if our ancestors did not own slaves, and by the way, I don't believe that that even is a reason to hold the progeny of slave owners responsible for something that their ancestors did. Because if you were to do that, you'd have to find out what tribes, black folks that are making these accusations, you'd have to find out what tribes they, from which they have come, where their origins lie, because their ancestors may have been involved in selling their fellow countrymen to the slave, into the slave trade to begin with. So you have people who are evil on both sides of the coin, both the Africans themselves and the slave traders who purchased these slaves. But even if you were to somehow, in some convoluted fashion, come up with a way to defend that those with ancestors who were that were slave owners are responsible for the sins of their fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers, there are many white people whose ancestors were not slave owners. My ancestors on my father's side immigrated from Scandinavia in the 19th century after the Civil War, and they settled in primarily in Brooklyn, New York, and Rhode Island. There were no slaves there. None of my ancestors had slaves on my father's side, unless you go far enough back into their history to the Vikings, and the Vikings' slaves were white. So you can't blame my father's side of the family for owning and mistreating black slaves. And my mother's side of the family immigrated to the United States in the early 1900s from Poland. So, and, you know, there are countless examples like that where just because a person is white doesn't mean that they have any slave owners in their ancestry. So this really boils down to slander. It boils down to the thinking more highly of oneself than you should. That would be those who are proponents of the critical race theory who are people of color, and they somehow think that they are superior because they say that they do not possess guilt for the sin of bigotry and racism. They are devoid of that somehow in their minds. And they also, these proponents of this heresy, as you called it, are really dividing. Those who profess to be Christian are dividing the body of Christ in an ungodly and slanderous and evil manner. And it is mind-boggling that some folks that I really highly respected and interviewed on this program a decade ago, who were at one time, these notions were never even a thought in their head, are now among the leaders of this movement. That is what is really mind-boggling to me, not that those who are leftists outside of the church or in leftist mainline groups, mainline denominations, but there are people who are not only theologically in many ways conservative and theologically reformed, as I am, who are proponents of this garbage. But I don't know what you have to say in response to anything that I just said, if you agree with all of it or some of it or what have you.
Well, yeah, the main concern is what we see as that the Christians who are involved in this critical race theory in some respect are repeating the heresy that we saw in the late 1800s and early 1900s as Christians responded to the real critical social needs that were caused by the Industrial Revolution in America and in England, Great Britain. And, you know, the issues of child labor and the issues of extreme poverty and health care and education and the really desperate ways in which people lived in many of the slums, the immigrants who came to our country and so on at that time. And, you know, the church at that time was deluded. Portions of the church were deluded into this idea that this idea of social redemption, of trying to improve society, would somehow bring us all into this right relationship with God as a whole group, and that we could almost establish you know, God's kingdom here on earth if we just solved all of these social ills. And as you study that part of history and you see the heresy of where the church went wrong, you know, I mean, in 1889, Spurgeon preached a very memorable sermon from his pulpit in London, and he was preaching, he used the parable of the lost sheep and Jesus going out, the shepherd, I mean, going out for that and making an effort to go find that one sheep. He preached on this in addressing Christian socialism. He talks about we can never move away from the idea of individual salvation, that yes, we desire many, many people to come to the kingdom, to come to a knowledge of Christ, but that is done one by one, by individual salvation, by people realizing their need for a Savior and repenting of their sin. And he was addressing the heresy that was so prevalent in the church at that time, as the church was trying to address the social needs. And we see the same heresy and the saying made by church leaders today in trying to address legitimate concerns in our society, but in doing it in a way that detracts or adds a works type of righteousness to the gospel message. And so that's why this topic went into the church. It is a heresy we've seen before and come back.
And we have to go to our first station break right now. If you have a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We're going to be right back right after these messages from our sponsor.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors.
It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free. And put good literature in your children's hands.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
And we want to thank Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, and the Historical Bible Society for renewing their advertising contract here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I cannot express the depths of my gratitude to Dan Buttafuoco for his earnest desire, which is lived out in actually using a portion of his hard-earned income to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Thanks, Dan, and I love you, and I just thank God for you. We are now back with our guest today, and this brother, David Swartz, is an elder at Church of the Living Christ in Lloydsville, Pennsylvania, and is one of the speakers at that church's annual apologetics conference coming up in May on critical race theory, and that is called the Reason for Belief Apologetics Conference. And if you have any questions of your own on critical race theory, send them in to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state and country of residence. We have an anonymous listener who says she is remaining anonymous because of the fact that many of his or her friends are deeply rooted in this current heresy. And the anonymous listener wants to know, how do you approach this issue with others that seem to be in lockstep with this heresy without inflaming further division and hateful disputes?
Well,
and that may be impossible with certain people. I mean, the gospel itself doesn't guarantee that those that you declare it to are going to remain your friends, are going to remain loving to you, etc. But we can go through steps not to add to the offense that the gospel has. The gospel is offensive already in and of itself. But what are your answers to this?
Yeah, well, this topic does make for very difficult conversations with folks. As we said before, even within the family of faith, even within those who claim Christ as their Savior, if the circle of friends of this caller are believers, certainly you can go to the Word and talk through why critical race theory is unbiblical. For those outside of the our family of faith, I think you have to talk to them about, point out to them the some of the failings of critical race theory in ways that that you see or that you can talk to them about. It certainly may not stop the objections. One of the concerns about critical race theory is that we have this proximate sin, or we have this proximate guilt as groups of people over what has happened in the past. And that is certainly not, while that may be classified as social justice, that is certainly not the way that our justice system has been based in this country, or even in many other countries, and obviously it's not biblical. We are responsible for our own actions and our own sins. Our own acts, which are attributable and specific to us, and not responsible for some proximate guilt. And you can ask people, how would you like to be brought into a court of law and sentenced for the guilt of of somebody else having an accident on the highway and killing someone. And, you know, try to show the fallacy in this idea of proximate guilt. That's one area to talk about. Another area to talk about is this, the way in which the proponents of critical race theory have crafted such circular arguments that no one can have an honest debate or discussion with them. Because the moment you do not agree with them, you are immediately assigned with the worst of motivations. You're immediately a racist. And besides the fact that that is not tolerant, and toleration has been a foundational pillar of American society since the founding of the country, this idea that you can't even have a discussion or a debate without you proving your evil intent is simply not appropriate, and it's simply a way to shut down discussion. And yes. So this caller may be able to approach the conversation in that way and say, do you really think this is a appropriate way to move forward where you do not allow anyone to even have a discussion?
Right.
Of course, with believers.
Or professing believers.
Pardon me?
Or professing believers, because not everybody who says they're a Christian involved in this dispute, I'm of the opinion that not everybody is truly regenerate.
Yeah, well, correct. But someone who says they're a believer, you know, they're, of course, they're, among the critical race theory proponents is this issue of intersectionality, which means that you have varying credibility to speak about issues depending upon how many oppressed groups you belong to. And the more oppressed you are, or the more oppressed groups, or the more experience in oppression you have, then you have credibility to speak. And someone who does not belong to those oppressed groups, therefore, must be quiet. And they do not have any wisdom, and they do not have any answers. And, you know, for believers, we have to say, wait a minute, our ultimate authority is the Bible. The Bible is the truth. The Bible is the basis on which we guide our life. And so anyone, regardless of skin color, regardless of background, regardless of economic status, if you are a believer, you have the same access to wisdom as anyone else. And so this idea that there is this gradient of people that are allowed to speak to this issue based on their background is simply, or that some truth is more truth than others. That is really an anti-biblical concept.
Yes, and we have to remember that leftists and liberals are two different groups of people. Liberals used to champion, or at least claim to champion, freedom of speech, tolerance of those who disagree with you, and many other things that those in the progressive left today are adamantly opposed to. In fact, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., with whom I have very radical and serious theological differences, but one of the things he championed that I agree with is that we are supposed to treat people not according to the color of their skin, but according to the content of their character. And this seems to be a heresy, declared a heresy by the modern left. And I would tell these people that may erupt into a rage when you are trying to have a reasonable discussion with them and you're presenting your oppositions, I would ask them, is it loving to only have conversations with people who agree with you? Is it loving to never correct someone who you believe is in error? And if that's true, why are you doing it to me? It's amazing how often people who are inflamed with rage when you state something that involves your desire to correct others you believe are in error, they fail to recognize that they are disagreeing with you and therefore are guilty of the same thing that they are accusing you of. So disagreement is not in and of itself a bad thing and can be something that is the height of love, especially when there is risk involved. When you are opposing something that is cherished by somebody that you really care about, whose friendship you treasure, whose love you claim as one of your most cherished gifts, you're risking losing that person as a friend. They may disassociate you as a family member. So disagreeing with them when you know that the matter is serious enough and may even involve eternal consequences if it involves a false gospel, then telling them that you disagree can be the height of love. Am I right?
Yeah, and you are really saying the same thing that our pastor, our senior pastor at Church Doran Ray recently said, where he said, Jesus is always loving, but he's not always kind.
Yes. In fact, let me pick up right on that point because we have to go to our midway break. So don't forget that quote by Pastor Doran Ray. This is the longer than normal break in the show, folks. So please be patient with us. We have a longer break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, insists on airing their public service announcements and other local things during this break because the FCC requires them to localize geographically all of their programming to Lake City, Florida. So while they do that, we air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information provided by our advertisers as you possibly can and respond to our advertisers, either by purchasing their products, using their services, supporting their parachurch organizations, or visiting their churches. But when you cannot do any of those things, please at least respond to them using the contact information they provide and thank them for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That is indeed, if you really love the show and you are really grateful that there are people out there that share some of their wealth with us so that we can remain on the air. And also send in your questions to David Swartz at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with David Swartz and our critical conversation on critical race theory right after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones Financial Advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, don't ever forget to make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. With Mother's Day coming up, Father's Day, with birthday celebrations, wedding anniversaries, gifts of condolences for those who are grieving and mourning over the loss of a loved one, baptism celebrations. We could go on and on with reasons that would compel you to purchase a gift for somebody that you care about. Well, please go to solid-ground-books.com to purchase gifts that have eternal value. In fact, don't always purchase Christian books for Christian people. Keep in mind your lost family, friends, and loved ones. If they know you care about your faith and that you love Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, they're going to appreciate that you're giving them a book that reflects the things that are most important to you. So why not give them a gift that may even lead them to Christ? God has used good, solid, biblically faithful Christian books for centuries to lead the lost to salvation. So purchase gifts that God may use to do that very thing from solid-ground-books.com. And remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone else for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print and publish nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our present day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to David Swartz, our guest today, and our critical examination of critical race theory, we have just a couple more announcements to make that are very important. If you love this show, folks, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves. You look forward to listening to it live every day or frequently, or listening to the podcast at a later time. If you really consider this a part of your weekly habits and traditions that you enjoy and that bless you and that edify you, and you don't want them to stop, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate. Now, you could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you are one of those folks that prefers snail mail, sending a physical check through your local postal service made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, well, when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen where you can mail a check made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Keep in mind, I'm always trying to remember every day to remind you that I don't want people giving their own church where they are a member less money in order to give Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a financial gift. Don't carve money out of the giving amount that you're accustomed to giving to your church in order to bless us. Please do not do this. When I founded this radio show in 2005, one of the main reasons I founded it was to be a platform, an aid, a helping hand, and a friend to the faithful local pastor and the biblically sound local church. And I never want to harm the faithful pastor and the biblical church in any way, including financially. So please don't give your own church less money to give us some money. Also, if you are really struggling to survive, please don't plunge yourself and your family into further financial peril by giving to us at this time. Wait till you are more financially stable to give us a gift. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and family, you have extra money for concerts, for your favorite athletic events, for movies, or for Broadway shows or other theatrical performances, for Bible conferences, for fine dining or fast food munching, or frivolity and things that are really unimportant. You have extra money for those things and extra money that's earning interest in the bank. And you love this show and you don't want it to disappear, I'm just asking you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate. Now, we really need your help. Also, if you are not a member of a biblically sound, theologically solid, Christ-honoring church, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have extensive lists of such churches, biblically faithful churches, spanning the globe, and I may be able to help you find a church no matter where you live on the planet Earth. In fact, I just got an email moments ago from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, from Nicholas, who is looking for a biblically sound church, and I'll get to that after the program today, Nicholas. But if you are in that category of people, you need a biblically sound church, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. And that also includes, obviously, if you have family, friends, and loved ones who do not have a biblically sound church that they call their home, I can help, God willing. Send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to our guest, David Swartz. He is one of the elders at a church that has become near and dear to my heart, Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is in Perry County, Pennsylvania. And that is the church that was the host church for my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. And I am so eagerly looking forward to many future events with them. But we are discussing the theme of their May apologetics conference, A Reason for Faith, that we hope that you will attend. It's actually called Reason for Belief. I'm sorry, Reason for Belief Apologetics Conference. It is also on the theme, A Biblical Response to Critical Race Theory. So if you have a question, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And before I go to any of our listener questions, Dave, continue what you were saying before the break. You were quoting your senior pastor, a brother in Christ who I have grown to quickly love and hope to have a long future of getting to know him better and forming an even more solid friendship with him, Pastor Doran Ray. You were quoting him, and why don't you pick up where you left off?
Well, sure, Chris, and thanks again for allowing us to talk about this topic in our apologetics conference. And just again, we were very pleased to be the host site for your pastor's luncheon, and we look forward to continuing to work for you. It was a great day, and appreciate all that you did to make that event happen. Getting back to this quote from Pastor Doran Ray, he's been preaching expositorily through the book of Matthew in recent months, and he talks about this theme that Jesus is always loving, but he's not always kind. And what he means by that is that Jesus does not always placate people. He does not always coddle people. But he is loving because he is concerned for their eternal destiny and their understanding of the authority of God and developing a right relationship through salvation in Christ. So at times his message may not seem kind, but it is always loving towards the person. Pastor Doran at times brings this point home that we are often too interested in being kind, and therefore at times we are not loving.
Right.
As individuals.
That is exactly right. We are more concerned over the feelings of people very often than we are over their eternal destiny. We are more important. We find more important, I should say, maintaining our friendship with them and maintaining their kindness toward us and their love for us than we are in our consideration of honoring and obeying and loving God and having him look upon us with favor. We care more about the favor of men, even lost men, even enemies of the gospel. We're more concerned with their appreciation of us than we are concerned over how God is viewing what we are saying and doing. And that often, I think, is motivated perhaps sometimes unconsciously by fearing men more than God and fearing the loss of some benefit that we have. Of course, there are many people who sin by denying their faith in the very livelihood that earns them money. Obviously, I'm not trying to promote those that steal from their employees by using their working hours as a mission field on an ongoing basis by not doing what they're being paid to do and evangelizing or talking about the gospel and so forth. But that there's a difference between only speaking about those things when it is appropriate, like during lunch breaks and that kind of thing, coffee breaks, before and after work. There are people who, by the very nature of what they do for a living, is an insult to the church and to Christ himself. So we have to make sure that we always put God before men. We have a listener, and I believe it's a first-time listener. Oh, but by the way, let me say to our anonymous listener, if indeed this was the first time you've ever contacted us with a question, you have won a free New American Standard Bible, compliments of the publishers of the New American Standard Bible, and compliments of Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. We'll actually be shipping that Bible out to you if you provide for us via email your full name and mailing address. We will obviously not divulge your name over the air since you requested to be anonymous, so don't worry about that. But if you would like a Bible, send us those details and we'll have cvbbs.com ship that out to you. And I think this is also a first-time questioner, so the same would go for you. Jay in Landisburg, Pennsylvania, he writes, who are the previously conservative church leaders who are embracing CRT? If you are going to generically complain about them, name names. I guess that was an insult to me, maybe, or rebuke, I should say, a chastisement. CRT seems to me to be a catch-all term that was picked up by conservative media to stir up a moral panic. I don't see anybody in the conservative church leaders that I listen to embracing it. Okay, well, do you have an answer to that before I do?
Well, this has been a response to concern over critical race theory, that this is somehow a straw man that has been erected by conservative voices in order to somehow implicate folks who have more progressive ideologies or progressive goals, progressive political goals. And I would certainly say that that is not true. There is, you know, this is not a conspiracy among conservative leaders in the church or in the country. But this really is a response to ideologies that are in favor with many in the country. When you read and listen to some of the leading lights of critical race theory, like Ibram Kendi, you understand that this ideology or this world, it's actually a worldview, this worldview is in direct opposition to biblical worldview, and therefore the church needs to have an answer for it.
Now, obviously, Kendi would not be a conservative or a professing conservative.
That is true. I was addressing more the second part of his question about the fact that it seems like we're just agitating here over over something that we ourselves have made up. But certainly, Chris, you can respond to the leaders who have embrace parts or all of the tenets of critical race theory.
Yeah, let me state that the people that I know are definitely movers and shakers and leaders under the umbrella of the social justice warrior movement. I have to be careful about not publicly identifying every aspect of those things to folks when I am not an expert about how thoroughly they echo and applaud and perpetuate all of the things under that umbrella, especially in regard to areas that involve homosexuality and extreme levels of feminism and so on. But two men that I have had on this program, who I at one time really viewed as extremely valuable leaders in the church, whose ministries I promoted. One is Thabiti Anyabwile. If anybody listening would like to get an email of an interview I conducted with him a decade ago, you will see how he was 180 degrees on the opposite side of what later became known as the social justice warrior movement. Now he is perpetuating and echoing sentiments that seemed to be foreign to his thinking only a decade ago. And one person who I have not had on this program, who basically has been the right-hand man of somebody that I have interviewed, Ligon Duncan, is Jamar Tisby. And Ligon Duncan, who has been his assistant for quite a while in ministry, and I believe Ligon has been and maybe continues to be his mentor in some sense. Ligon is a part of what would be called conservative, reformed, Presbyterian theology and teaching. A very likable man, I'm speaking of Ligon, who seems to be extremely humble and so on. But Jamar has been, on the other side of the spectrum, been very outspoken in his sharp critique and even slanderous accusations of others about being racists and so on. And Anthony Bradley is another person that I've had on this program a decade ago, who was completely 180 degrees, just like Thabiti and Wile, in opposition to things that have become main elements of the social justice warrior movement. So, in fact, one of the things that is very clear in my memory about Anthony is that, by the way, Anthony knew that I was a Reformed Baptist, a confessional Reformed Baptist, when he accepted my invitation to be interviewed a decade ago. When I asked him what his response is, or was back then, to black individuals who, or even white individuals, who promote the concept that black people cannot be guilty of the sin of racism because they are an oppressed people and only those that are in positions of power can truly be guilty of the sin of racism. His answer to that was, in a very loud voice on my program, is that they're morons. So he has come a far way from when he was on my show, and the reason I brought up his foreknowledge of me being a Reformed Baptist, he now believes, and he has said publicly, that confessional Reformed Baptists, those that adhere to the 1689 London Baptist Confession, as I do, are amongst the most despicable and vile professing Christians on the planet. And perhaps somebody who has the exact word-for-word quote can send that to me, or I'll look it up. But I would actually like to have those folks, those men, on my program to have as friendly a debate as they possibly can conduct. And so there's the answer to that. I don't want to go any further in naming names. It's not because I'm being cowardly about it. I just don't want to be guilty of slander against those that may have developed in certain ways in their thinking and understanding of this topic. They may have changed. They may have repented of certain things. So I don't want to include too broad or large of a group of people and names when it comes to that. So there you go. Jay in Landisburg, Pennsylvania. And even though you gave me that bit of chastisement, and by the way, feel free always, and this goes to all my listeners, feel free to write in a rebuke or chastisement when you think I'm in error. In fact, I wish more people would do that because the vast majority of times people who send in questions are in agreement with everything that's being said. And it, when you have a little back and forth, give and take kind of a expression of disagreement between myself, guests, and listeners, it can actually make for more interesting radio. But as Iron Sharpens Iron goes, I would love to hear from more people that do disagree with me and my guests. But Jay, even though you've rebuked me, you still may have a free New American Standard Bible if you provide for me your mailing address in Landisburg, Pennsylvania, and we'll have cvbbs.com ship that out to you. Let's see here. We have another question. We have Arnie in Perry County And Arnie, I hope that you come to this conference since you're in Perry County. Arnie says, what do you think are the main elements of critical race theory that are an offense to God, that are actually and absolutely damnable rather than debatable areas? Are you there, brother?
Yes, I am. I was actually trying to decide where to start.
Well, let me. While you're thinking, I'm going to repeat our email address if anybody else wants to join us with a question. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Okay, so go ahead.
Yeah, you know, the one of the real issues involves the question of authority. And the greatest commandment is, you know, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And what that really entails is a recognition of God's authority over all aspects of life, including over your own. And without getting too far into past psychology stuff, we know that, you know, in today's society, the only authority that counts is self. Basically, Rousseau has won in the argument in the secular marketplace or the pagan marketplace, and that deception where the only authority that matters is myself and how myself feels and how I express myself in all areas, that is the primary factor in life. And that is part of this critical race theory. You know, I feel oppressed. And what this ends up doing is it denies the authority of God. It denies the, while critical race theory may surface legitimate concerns in our society that should be addressed, the answers they have are unbiblical, and they deny God's authority over all of life. And as a result, I think that is actually the biggest affront that this theory has from a biblical, compared to a biblical worldview.
Well, thank you, Arnie. And one of the things that I am convinced of in regard to one of the major elements of critical race theory, or the advocates of critical race theory and what they demand and everything under the social justice warrior movement, which includes reparations, and this would also include any sympathy towards socialism and Marxism and communism, and there are varying degrees of open embrace of those things. I know that there are people involved in promoting social justice warrior ideas and critical race theory who claim that they are not Marxist, socialist, or communist. But even the demanding of reparations is, number one, before it happens, before it's actually realized and comes true, it's coveting thy neighbor's goods. And if it does happen, if it becomes law, it's stealing from your neighbor. Because as we've already said, not everybody in this country who is white had slaveholders in their ancestry. And I don't even think it's legitimate to penalize those that do have grandfathers and great-grandfathers who were slaveholders in this fashion, just as you wouldn't hold any black person or person of any skin color responsible for what their father, great-grandfather did and you know, we can go back many years into their ancestry, we would not want to hold anybody responsible for the flaws, sins, and even crimes of their forefathers. So you are, at this point, you're coveting what these people, known as white folk, you're coveting what any of them may own. And if these reparations actually were to be made law, you'd be stealing. Because remember, folks, when people use terms like the government's money, the government doesn't have any money that isn't the money that once belonged to the citizens of this country. People, don't they have a total bizarre misconception about the government actually having money that is theirs to begin with, that they are doling out as some form of act of benevolence to others? It's our money, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And since you brought up this idea of reparations, this is another concept within this whole umbrella of topics that we're discussing. This idea of reparations is now another concept that has divided Christians. There are those who are writing that in support, claiming that the Bible supports reparations. I do not believe that it does, but
other than those that are themselves guilty of theft, like Zacchaeus.
Right. And so the story of Zacchaeus in the Gospels is one section of scripture where that pro-reparationist would use to say that the Bible supports the concept of reparations. Well, yes, it does, in returning things that have been unlawfully taken from an individual.
But it's a key sign of genuine repentance, because you're putting your money where your mouth is, because money is among those things that human beings care about most. If they are truly guilty of theft, that must be a sign of genuine repentance, at least, at the very least, the attempt to make reparation. And obviously there are occasions when somebody has, through their sin, become so financially devastated it's impossible for them to financially make a reparation. But they are indebted in some way to those victims that they harmed. But Zacchaeus wasn't paying people back, quote, because of what his father, grandfather, or great-grandfather did.
That is true, yes. And that's why I do not think that that text is an appropriate one to support the concept of reparations as it's being discussed within this topic of racism in America. The other scripture that's used by the proponents of reparations is Ezra 6, when in that discussion where Darius provides resources to build the temple, and he actually tells local leaders to use tax dollars to support the building of the temple. That is one section of scripture, as well as the section in Exodus where the Israelites take the wealth of Egypt with them. And in both those cases, I do not think those sections of scripture support this concept of reparations as it's currently being bandied about in within the political circles of America, because in those cases, those resources were designed to be used, God ordained that to be designed to be used for a specific purpose, the building of the temple. Or the building of the tabernacle, you know. But in Ezra, it was the building of the temple as the people returned from their exile. And, you know, it is not the concept in Ezra 6 where people were personally enriched by Darius's decree. So you know, I find some difficulty with using those texts to support this idea of reparations as it's currently being discussed.
Amen. And we're going to our final break. It's going to be a lot more brief than the other breaks. If you have a question for David Swartz, please send it in fairly quickly because we are rapidly running out of time. We have about 8 minutes. We have about 18 minutes left in the program, even less than that when you consider the last station break. So send in your email as soon as possible to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with David Swartz after these messages from our sponsors.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Romaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Patafuco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Patafuco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Welcome back. Dave Swartz, we have Joseph in South Central Pennsylvania, who wants to know, don't you think that very often those who are professing conservatives, whether they are in the church or outside of the church, undermine or downplay the serious importance of providing for the needs of the poor, just as James insisted was a critical area that gave evidence to saving faith in his epistle?
Well, I can't speak for all conservative voices about their view of the needs of the poor. I would say my personal view is that there are legitimate needs of poor people and of poor communities that need to be addressed. Having said that, I do think that there are many conservative voices who have great concern and for the plight of some of these communities and people that are members of those communities. But the answer to social issues are often very different from what is promoted by many folks in government and in our society. Some answers, conservatives would look on some answers as being helpful today, but not helpful for the long-term resolution of the problems that the community faces. And the solutions that some conservatives would offer are designed to, while trying to care for the needs today, really interested in more long-term solutions.
Yeah, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you are talking about the evils of the welfare system versus those things that involve incentives for people to seek and acquire employment. I mean, even the Bible tells us if a man doesn't work, he shall not eat. So obviously there are policies that can cripple people and make them reliant upon the state just to provide for their physical needs, and giving them actual incentives very often not to seek employment.
Well, that can be the outworking of a continual welfare state, and there's no doubt that there is some level of welfare, short-term or otherwise, that is helpful to many people when they find themselves in distressing situations. But when you look at Bible-believing churches in some of these communities, they have programs not just to provide food and other benevolence to people in need, but they also have job fairs and employment skills training, and they have special programs for dads to help men who find themselves as fathers without any maybe any training from family or potentially good role models, you know, that they are trying to help them to provide that needed leadership in the home. And, you know, these are some of the answers I think that I certainly think are valuable to those communities. And sadly, are sometimes not part of a national conversation about the needs of those communities.
We have BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who says, how do you respond to those who are promoting critical race theory and social justice warrior ideology who use Acts 2:45 as a proof text that proves that socialism is a better way for Christians to live? And actually, for those of our listeners who don't have their Bibles open or don't remember that text, that is a very famous text in the Scriptures where we read, and they, meaning the disciples, or those in the church, would sell their property and possessions and share them with all to the extent that anyone had need.
Sure, this is one of the texts that is used that supposedly shows that the Bible support socialism or that the church should be very favorable to socialistic economic systems.
I think the leftist Michael Moore, the movie producer and leftist activist, he very often uses his rhetoric in an apologetic form where he is actually identifying his views as Christian. I think he may be a Catholic. I don't know. But he will try to shame Christians with these kinds of texts.
Yeah, and the answer is that there's a number of answers to folks who want to use this particular verse. One is that there was still a very strong concept of private property in the early church. In Acts 5, when Peter has this conversation with Ananias about the fact that he sinned by lying and keeping part of the proceeds of the land he sold back, he says, Peter says to Ananias, "Wow, it remained unsold. Did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your own control?"
There you go.
And so there is still this idea of private property very much in view. And I would also say that to use that Acts 2 verse to support socialism is an error, because socialism as an economic system in our world today is directed by the government under more of a command economy. And here, this charity or this care for others was personally motivated by the Holy Spirit from believers to believers.
And it was it was voluntary. In fact, the reason why it was a fruit of their love of the brethren is that it was voluntary, that it wasn't forced upon them.
Right. And so there was no, some people would be harsh about socialism and say that it's a state-sponsored coercion of wealth transfer. However you want to define socialism, I do not see this verse as equaling what we call socialism today, and therefore I think it's a fallacy to say that this verse supports socialism and therefore the church should be socialistic in nature based on this verse of Scripture.
And we're out of time, and if anybody wants to attend the Reason for Belief Apologetics Conference at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, go to churchoftheliving.christ.cc. churchoftheliving.christ.cc. I want to thank you so much, Dave, for being an excellent guest today. I want to thank everybody who wrote in questions and those who listened silently. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.